All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Blast podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Wagner. As always, today's sponsor is Authors Unite. And if you want to become a successful author, Authors Unite is the place to go. So head on over to authorsunite.com to check out a free case study that'll teach you how to do exactly that. And now let's jump into the episode. All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Blast podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Wagner. Today, I have Luis Gonzalez with us, and he helps transform global business conversations through coaching, cross-cultural training, and facilitating communication workshops. He is passionate about communication in diverse multicultural settings and has coached individuals and teams in India, Brazil, and Mexico. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Of course. Grateful to have you on. So the first one I got for you is, what is the best story from your life that has an underlying valuable message?
I love that question. The best story from my life that has an underlying valuable message, at least it's important to me, and I'm hoping that if I share it with your listeners, they'll find something valuable in it as well. And it boils down to something that I kind of hone in on in all of my facilitations and trainings that deal with communication, either just, you know, business communication here in the United States or global communication between teams among different countries and cultures. And it boils down to assumptions. Do we have assumptions before we enter into conversations? Oftentimes we do. So my story is back, about 25 years ago, I was working at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company as a bellman or a bell captain. I'm not sure what they call them these days, but I want to make sure I say it correctly. But in any case, the person that gives you a tour of the hotel and brings your bags up to your room and all that, it's five-star hotel, Ritz-Carlton here in the Southern California area. I had already been to India twice. Now, this is in the mid-90s. I had already spent some time in India and was fascinated with the Indian multicultural nature of India and was diving deep into that, but just scratching the surface at that young of an age and young in my interest in all things international. And approaching the hotel door, coming in for a wedding, was a group of what I assumed to be, by their dress, by their looks, by their appearances, by their body language, I assumed to be Indians. And so at the door of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, as this wedding party walked in, including the bride, her parents, I greeted them with folded palms and said, Namaste, as what would be done customarily in India amongst most people except Muslims. To my surprise and to my shock, they were offended, and they flatly told me right then and there, we're not Indian, please don't do that. And I said, I'm sorry, where are you from? I made a mistake. They said, we're from Pakistan. Well, there's a whole history, and for those of your listeners who know, there is a history between Pakistan and India. At one time, it was unified under the Brits and all of that. But today, we have two separate identities, two separate peoples. And I went in with the intention of, as I've always been in my life, a bridge builder, a connector, a people bringer together. Let's talk about what we do and why we do it and how different that is. I've always wanted to bring people together, and this flopped tremendously because I kind of insulted them. They were offended by that. And why? Because I went in with my assumption. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't think to myself, maybe they're not from India. Perhaps they're from somewhere else. But my assumptions got in the way, and I went in with that. And I offended them. And I felt bad about that because, as I mentioned already, I'm a people bringer together. I like to bring people together. I don't like to cause dissension, and certainly I don't like to offend people. So the lesson for me, that ties in. That was 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. That lesson is so it resonated with me and stayed with me till this day, because now in my communication training, cross-cultural communication trainings, effective communication trainings, or even conflict resolution sessions that I deliver, that's one of the places where I start from. That's our starting place. Before going into any conversation, do we have assumptions? Is there more to the story that we don't know, that we maybe need to find out? And so the lesson there was, the valuable message for me was, watch your assumptions, check your assumptions, you have assumptions, and before going in with any of your assumptions into conversations with others. Get curious. Ask them questions. Find out more about the situation so that you're better prepared to enter the conversation without offending anyone or looking like a fool going in with assumptions. Maybe I might have started out this conversation by, hey, welcome. Where are you guys coming in from? Where are you from? And then I would have found out they're Pakistani. Oh, switch modes, you know, you do it this way. So I hope that answers the question, but that's a valuable lesson that has stayed with me to this day.
Yeah, man. No, I think it's really important. And it's interesting. Like, I don't think there's really enough people talking about it. Like I've interviewed almost like 1300 people on this podcast. Now you might be the first one that I've interviewed that has spoken about this in this way. Yeah, it's definitely very important, man. I mean, and I'm very similar to you, like just wanting to connect people, like hence why I do the podcast and I interview a ton of people. Like I really enjoy it. So to even think that I would offend somebody, you know, and like I would never want to do that. So it's like, it's powerful, man. So my next one for you is what is the most valuable piece of information we should know that's within your expertise or industry?
I think that boils down to, for me, is to understand, kind of like what I was talking about before with assumptions. You know, we all have assumptions. They're not right. They're not wrong. We have them. The trick is to understand that we have them, to know that we have them, and to check them. So the most valuable piece of info within my industry, which is in, you know, effective communications, let's say, if we want to just boil it down to that, distill it down to that, effective communications cross geographies or within just the United States. This is my piece of valuable information. We all have a perspective or a view on life, and it's influenced or formed by our beliefs, our culture, where we were raised, our socioeconomic background, our life experiences, good, bad, and everything else. And this view on life, or sometimes I call it a context on life, it forms our truth. It becomes our truth with a capital T. But we have to remember that other people have a different perspective. If I'm in a room, a classroom, let's say, there's 10 people in the room, I'll ask people to look out of the window and holler out what they see. Naturally, people will be focusing on different things and will hear different things that people are seeing out of the same window. Who's right? Who's wrong? No one. It's perspective. So we all have perspectives, and we should understand our perspective on life. And we should also understand that some other people we're trying to engage with, perhaps in conversations, perhaps in business conversations, they also have their perspective, their context on how they see life or how they see any given situation. Their context is also formed by their experiences, beliefs, their religion, perhaps, where they were raised, their culture. All this forms a lens on how we view the world. And so to understand our context, how do I see things? What's formed the way that I see things? And how might the other person I'm about to engage in conversation with, or the other people that I'm about to engage in conversation with and connect with, how might they see things? And how do I know that? Not by assuming, but by asking, getting curious. So whenever we're talking about entering into conversations with people we know, people we don't know, any kind of a business relationship, check ourselves. Again, like I said, with assumptions, check what's our context? What's my view on this particular situation that I'm about to enter into with this person or people? And then begin to get curious and understand how they see things, whatever it is you're going to be discussing, whether it's business, a business venture, or maybe it's just over a cup of coffee. It just is so helpful to enrich relationships when we can understand our perspective first on things and get curious with the other parties to see how they see things. With those two halves, as I call it, perspectives, you know, my perspective on how I see any given situation or how I see life, and getting curious with the other party, seeing how they see it. Now we have a better understanding. It's almost as if, pieces of the puzzle are starting to fall into place and I'm seeing a bigger picture. And now I'm better prepared to do whatever it is, have that conversation, make that business deal, or explore what opportunities we have together. But it starts by getting curious with myself. What are my assumptions? What are my beliefs? Is there more to the story that I don't know? And then getting curious with the other person or people. Hey, how do you see this? What's going on from your perspective? And then we're better equipped to have a better result, whatever it is that we're looking for in terms of a goal of that conversation or relationship. So our truth may not be someone else's truth. We got to know that. We got to realize that. And that's okay. Ask, get curious, find out. So for me, that's the most valuable piece of info within my communications industry, I think, from my perspective.
And then what's your best piece of overall business advice? So not necessarily industry specific.
Best piece of business advice. And I've heard other people that you have had on your podcast mention this, and I'm just going to back it up as well. It boils down to relationships, business. And we know this. We know this academically. We know this under, you know, mentally we can grasp it. Yes, relationships are key to business. We have to learn to connect with others. We can say that, we can understand it, but what does it mean? I think that's where it gets a little challenging. What does it mean to connect with others? Research has proven we're emotional beings first, rational second. We make decisions from an emotional standpoint first. We've got to learn to connect with others. What does that look like? What does that mean? It differs with every situation, with every person, depending on where they're at, where they're, what their mood is that day. It's up to us using our emotional intelligence to determine what that connection means. Now, in terms of connecting with others and developing relationship to get better business outcomes, Americans, U.S. Americans like us, often face business challenges. When I work with U.S. American business leaders, managers, et cetera, with organizations that are based in the U.S. and they have expanded into or have, businesses in Mexico, let's say Brazil or India, where my expertise is, Americans face challenges because we want to get to the point. We're very direct communicators. We want to get to the business, and we get very impatient. Say, for example, at a dinner with our Mexican or Brazilian counterparts, and they just want to talk endlessly about things related to family and things not related to the business. Americans tend to get impatient. The other parties will sense that, and perhaps the outcome is not what we wanted. So we've got to learn to slow things down and just connect with others. And again, that connection is going to look differently between different people, different groups or whatever, but we've got to be able to understand that relationships are key. Relationships are key to business, better business outcomes, better results. I like to say it this way. There's something deep inside us. And I think everybody that I've mentioned this, they understand this or get this. So I'm hoping you will and your listeners will as well. There's something deep inside us, something within us that resonates when we know people are connecting with us authentically. Mm-hmm. It looks different between different people, but there's something inside us that goes, this person's keeping it real. This person is being real. I feel it. And that's where it starts. Again, it looks different between different people. Some people connect differently than others, but we've got to use our emotional intelligence to understand what that is and foster, build, and strengthen, enrich those relationships for better business outcomes. So that's my best business advice.
And then if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
That was hard to narrow down. Hard to narrow down because I'll tell you why. You know, from my perspective, my belief is no mistakes. I don't regret anything I've ever done. It's got me to where I am today. All the bad decisions I've made that apparently were bad, I learned from them. So, but still, there's a part of me that wants to go back to that 10-year-old, that 12-year-old, especially that 14-year-old, and tell that younger Luis, man, you're okay. Follow your heart. You are not going to do what everybody wants you to do. You're not going to do what society is dictating you should be doing. You're going to be a total opposite direction guy, and that's okay. That's my first piece of advice. Just follow your heart. Don't pay attention to what anybody else is saying. Do what you do. The second piece of advice is, but watch your finances while you're living in the moment. look at the future. You're not always going to be young and full of energy. And what if you do live to be older and you don't want to work that much? You're going to need something in terms of a financial cushion. So start socking some money away. You're living in the moment. That's great. But think about the future as well at the same time. Have a balance. That's what I would give.
And then, so now let's talk about happiness. In your opinion, what's the key to happiness?
I guess it's more of an experience than an opinion. And it works for me. So I can only speak for myself. Key to happiness for me is serving, somehow or other, serving others. And what I mean by that is helping in some way. If I can help someone in terms of what I do for my career, helping people communicate better so they can have better relationships. I really honestly and truly believe that small pieces to help improve the world. If we can all get better on the ground level at communicating and enriching our relationships, it will expand to the global level. I know that sounds altruistic, but for me, that's true. The key to happiness for me is somehow or other helping, supporting, serving, giving of myself, and not expecting anything in return. When I do that, I feel so fulfilled. So that's the key to happiness for me, is just serving without return.
And then I could not agree more. And now tell us about the best book you've read, and what was the number one thing you learned from that?
Again, it may sound cliche. I don't want to sound too cliche or, I'm spiritual or anything. But the book that has stuck with me since I was first introduced to it over 35 years ago is the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu scripture. And the lessons I get from that, to sum it up, are life is all a play. We're characters or actors in it. Do what your role calls you to do, what your heart has called you to do, what your talents are, whatever that is, do it and do the best you can doing that, but don't be attached to the results. Life goes on endlessly. There's no beginning. There's no end. It's all an illusion. It's all a dream anyway, and love is what it all boils down to. So do what you do. Do your best at it. Don't be attached to any of the results, and focus on love.
And then what is your favorite quote and why?
My favorite quote, this is what always brings me back to center. If I'm feeling off balance, if I feel like I'm getting stuck in a mental rut, or I'm getting stuck in my ego, or I'm just feeling, for lack of a better term, stuck. My favorite quote, it's a Beatles song, but it's actually written by George Harrison, who I hold in high esteem. It's from the song Within You, Without You. And the quote, part of that song, it's not the whole song, but the main quote, that's my favorite quote that brings me back to center, is when you've seen beyond yourself, you may find peace of mind is waiting there. And that takes us back to what's your key to happiness question you asked me. Helping others in some way, serving others in some way. When George says that when you've seen beyond yourself, you'll find peace of mind's waiting there. And to see you're only really small and life goes on within you and without you. That's heavy to me. So that's my favorite quote.
I really like that as well, man. Dude, this was amazing. I got one more question for you, because I know our listeners want to know, where can they best find and connect with you online?
Right now, best way to connect me and find me online is LinkedIn, my LinkedIn profile. And it's really easy because it's my name, Luis Gonzalez, with an S on the end. So LinkedIn.com/IN/Luis Gonzalez. Find me there. Let's connect.
Perfect, man. Thank you again for coming on.
Hey, Tyler, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.